This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by Endicott College football coach Paul McGonigal following their 23-17 NCAA loss to Cortland over at Endicott in Beverly on Saturday. Coach McGonigal, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Bill. Good morning.
Always been great talking with you all season long here. But, Coach, we knew going into this game, and you were telling us last week, Cortland's the real deal. They're a real power. Ranked slightly ahead of you guys into the national polls. But this was quite a clash. And tell us, you guys had your chance to come down and win this thing right at the end, down by six. Tell us about that final drive for Endicott on Saturday.
Yeah, it was kind of a tale of two drives. You know, we got the ball back, I think it was like 3 minutes left, down 23-17. And first play, we got about 8-10 yards, and we fumbled. And I think a lot of our success this year is we never really turned the ball over. And we turned the ball over three times in this game. And I think, you know, then you think you're kind of the game's over, and our defense did a huge stop. They were, you know, Cortland was doing a great job running the ball throughout the game and to get a stop. They even went for it on fourth and two and stopped us. We got the ball back to have another two-minute drive, per se. And, yeah, we went down and we got all the way down to 11-yard line. It was, you know, 4 seconds left. And, you know, we had one shot the end zone and it just missed. So, you know, 11 yards away from winning the game. And, you know, it obviously you go through it and would have, could have, should have, could have done this, could have called that better, all that stuff. But it was definitely, you know, if you were a fan of watching the game or in the country, that was, you know, a clash of two teams, number 11 versus number 14. So obviously it was a good matchup. It came down to the end.
Coach, what was the play that the Gulls called right at the end? Tell us about the thinking and how it played out.
Yeah, you know, it was we're out of timeouts. So we call the play, and then they call the timeout, see what we're doing. And, you know, good job by them. We didn't really show the play. We kind of just window dress a little bit with some motion, and it was kind of like a switch combination. And, you know, we were trying to throw inside to a receiver, and it sailed on the, I think it sailed a little bit, and it went up high, like, so the receiver didn't have a chance to kind of catch it, to be honest with you. It kind of went above him and went out of bounds. So, you know, that's a situation where, you know, you hope you'd have a chance to catch it, but it didn't happen. But, you know, I mean, plenty of people made plays throughout the game, and just they made one more play than us.
Yeah, I want to talk about your defense, because we've talked about this so many times, but this was the number three offense in the nation, this Cortland team, and you guys held them to a season low for points. So let's begin with a couple of names here, but let me have you give an overall comment on your team's defense on Saturday.
Yeah, they were number three. The quarterback's thrown for over 3,000 yards. Got, you know, good weapons, very good quarterback. But we also the number, I think, 7 or 8 defense in the country. So it wasn't, you know, like our defense has been bad. But, you know, throwing the ball, we did a great job. We held 162 yards. You know, they did rush the ball very well. They controlled the ball for 40 minutes, you know. So they went down the field. It was kind of more of a bend, don't break. You know, it's when you're good all around offensively, defensively, there's only so much you can do. You know, you take it with a pass, take it with a run. You take chances at times, but, you know, they did hold the ball a lot. Obviously, you know, a couple turnovers, you know, gives them the ball, too, so for more time, not just defensively. But, you know, they did a good job of holding, especially the last two drives, to field goals versus touchdowns, you know. So they, you know, they did a very good job throughout the game and made some plays. And there's some seniors out there, some guys that, you know, they left it all out there at the end.
Yeah, I know a couple of names. Guys had kind of marquee games for you guys. Olsmar Kandik and Jackson D'Angelo statistically had a big afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, Ismar is a fifth-year senior. He's done a great job. The way he's come in from his freshman year, and we knew he was talented, and the way he's matured and the way he's developed in this year, and he just had an unbelievable senior year. And, you know, Jackson D'Angelo actually didn't play since the Harden-Simmons game. And he was hurt, and he could have came back, and he wasn't sure, and it could have been a medical red shirt. And he, you know, just kind of the culture, I think, that we have, he was just, you know, I want to play in this game. I want to play with my guys. So, you know, he could have saved his year and decided not to play in this game. And, you know, I think he was a little, you know, rusty in the beginning, you know, not in a bad way, but he's just such a weapon on defense, the way he did, the way he lines up and moves around. But then Zach Todorski was just a heat-seeking missile, our safety. You know, he was great as well, making a lot of big open field tackles.
We're on the offensive side. Clayton Marenghi, you know, he had 223 yards of passing, a couple of touchdown passes, the long, a 69er to Shane Aylward, who led you in receiving on Saturday at five catches for 119 yards. So that tandem didn't really seem to let up too much against Cortland. I mean, so they had a nice combination.
They did. You know, there's the regular passes, and then there's also the broken plays where Clayton just, you know, I want to say I coach it, but I don't. You know, he just makes it with his feet, his athleticism, and Shane being Shane. You know, and we were down. Both our tight ends did not play in this game because of injuries, so we didn't really have a much of a tight end this game. We had, you know, Robbie Donovan played a little bit, but we moved Shane around to play different, you know, more of a flex-out position offensively, so he moved around more than he has this year, and he's such a smart football player. He knows all the positions and stuff like that. And then, you know, he did a great job. And then, you know, looking, going back to that last play, you know, we have a true freshman running back in the game. You know, I mean, Marquise Bridgewater from Central Catholic's in the game in that last play. And, you know, that's because at the end of the year, game 11, you know, unfortunately our senior captain, A.J. Cazinelli, broke his leg in the game before. Mm-hmm. So, and he... poor young man hasn't played in a playoff game. He's been hurt the last 3 years in the playoff game, so it was a very tough week for him, but he was there on the sideline cheering for the younger running backs. But the offensive made some plays. I thought our O-line did a pretty good job holding up front, you know, versus a good pass rush. But again, not to be redundant, but, you know, when you go against, you know, two top teams, you know what I mean, there's going to be some, I guarantee both teams are very sore yesterday.
No, absolutely. I mean, my last point or question on the game, Coach, would be, if you can hold Cortland to 23 points going into it, I'm thinking, okay, we'll might live with that. We'll give that a shot. Does that sound about right to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think defensively you can look up, you know, how many yards they had in time possession, but, you know, you got to get in the end zone. And I think the two field goals were huge. You know, we kicked a field goal before the half. It was 17-10, and we get the ball to start the second half. We're driving, turn the ball over. I mean, if you look at our games, Clayton has thrown one interception coming into this game the whole year, and that was our only loss against Ithaca. And then this game, he threw one. And that was our loss with the two turnovers. I'm not saying it was him, but my point is we have the two fumbles as well. So when you turn the ball over, I don't care who you play, it's tough to win games. And my point going back to Clayton is that's how good of a quarterback he's been all year, because he doesn't turn the ball over. You know, he's very smart and instinctive like that, and that's definitely it's a big reason for some of our success offensively, because he's not giving the ball back to the other team.
Coach, what do you tell the team after this kind of game? I mean, you make the NCAAs, you have a shot right at the end. It's a heartbreaker for sure. What do you say, and what do they say back, the players?
You know, talking to the team afterwards, you know, losing on the last play of the game, you know, sometimes as a coach, you're like, you better off getting blown out, or, you know, what's the situation where, you know, in the third quarter, hey, it's over. I think this situation is a little bit different. You know, 3 years ago when we first got the playoffs, I think we wanted to win. It was just, I mean, we lost three playoff games by, you know, 3 or 4 points each game. And we're kind of there, but we just can't get over the cusp. So obviously keeps them hungry, and that's their goal and the standard. But at the same time, it's, you know, at the end of the day, there's only going to be one team that's going to win. You know what I mean? That's going to be the national champion. So team's going to lose throughout the way. And I told them to be, there's 240-something Division III teams, and to be nationally ranked, you know, 14th in the country, to beat the number 5 team from Texas, to the only two losses of the two 15 teams in the country, to host a game, you know, that's such a feat. And, you know, obviously they're listening, at the same time they're, you know, you get this some tears, especially the seniors, knowing this is the last game and stuff like that. But you know, you try to tell them to keep their head up high because they're unbelievable. But my point is, I think a couple years ago, it was more like, okay, we're here. Now it's more of, you know, it's more of everybody. I mean, we're only allowed to dress 58 players on the sidelines. So now you have to tell half your roster to go on the bleachers for the game. That's NCAA rules. But my point is, those players were so great. The energy they brought from the bleachers, and the, you know, they were very loud, and the environment was very great. But you know, there's no book on what to say. You know, I mean, but I mean, I told them, you know, I love them. I'm proud of them. You know, the seniors, what they've done. They've only lost one conference game in 3 years, and to put this program in this situation is to be, you know, 3 years in a row hosting, and you know, and you know, in New England, you know, I think at the time, I could be wrong, but I think it was the only, you know, playoff game going on for all levels at the time. So you have two ranked teams here in New England or the North Shore. That was, you know, it was good for the whole area.
Yeah, and I think to your point, I think this is where you were going, is that even though it's a loss, you know, I think you're feeling, players should feel proud as well that the program has made advances all the last 3 years. And this one, you know, could have been a W, but it wasn't. But on the other hand, I mean, it does sound like the program's made the advances. And you're right. When you get to this point, I mean, these opponents, I mean, everyone is just so rock solid, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I mean, pressure is a privilege, you know, and I think they embrace that. And I think, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if there's guys right now, because of Thanksgiving break, on our team that are in the gym, literally working out right now for next year.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Coach, anything else you want to share with us about the team, the season? You know, obviously it culminates with a game like this one, NCAA playoff game at home last Saturday. But anything else you want to share with us, big picture, looking forward, whatever, if you can even do that at this point? I'm sure you can. But what else would you like to share with us?
Well, I think as a coach, your brain's always processing, you know, and okay, the season's over. Okay, what do you do yesterday? It's your first day off in forever, and you know, okay, who's coming back, who's not coming back, what could I do better, what can we change, what can we do, you know, recruiting's coming up, we've always recruit, but it's coming up, but at this point, it's about these players, this team, and, you know, and I couldn't have been, you know, prouder of these guys, and the way they, the stuff they did this year, not only on the field, but academically, like I said, they do a great job. They, you know, they don't get in trouble. They're a class act, and it's a culture, and our families are unbelievable. I mean, the crowd here, the parents, the turnout for a Thanksgiving break game, you know, was great. But, you know, and Bill, let me thank you again for all your calls this year on Mondays, and it's an absolute pleasure speaking to you each week, and love to keep it going, and I appreciate you taking the time and talking about, you know, this football program and these coaches and players. We all appreciate it.
And right back at you, Paul. The other thing too is, I think for the North, I mean, I love college D3 sports. I mean, D1 college sports are great too. Don't get me wrong. I'm nothing against that. But I think that we have some great, you know, Endicott has some great teams. There are other teams in the area for sure. Salem State and so on. But you put D3 football on the map in our area, and that never happened before for quite, you know, obviously. And I think it's a great take. It's a great opportunity for people in our area to take notice of D3 college football, because that's huge all around New England. Different spots, different little cities and towns and so on. It's a great take on a Saturday afternoon. And so, anyways, we really appreciate what Endicott's been able to provide to the North Shore, and I'm glad to be a little part of it. I mean, being able to share you with everybody, we're thrilled. So, Paul, thank you so much for all of your time on these Mondays. You're absolutely right. So we'll hopefully talk again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and as you know, it's a team effort. It's not just one person, and you know, it's a collective group. But we really appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you soon. And have a you know, happy Thanksgiving, and whoever's listening, you know, happy holidays to everybody.
You got it. And same to you. Congrats to you guys on all you've accomplished, the coaches, players' families, and so on, as you pointed out, and, of course, the school as well. So, Paul, thanks again so much, and, again, have a great holiday yourself and your family.
Great. Thank you. Same to you. Thanks, yep. Bill.
Paul McGonigal, head football coach, Endicott College, here with us here on MSONewsSports.com.